You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin, TSM again on the artist, formerly known as Twitter, at Alex Goodwin, TSM. That's T as in Texans, S as in strangle, like what Draymond Green did to Rudy Gobert, M as in mother. Kennedy Miller, what's up, man?
What's going on? What's going on, Alan?
Man, nothing too much, dog. Where can the folks find you on the artist formerly known as Twitter?
You can find me on X at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. All right. And I said S as in strangle, like what Draymond Green did to Rudy Gobert. Kennedy Miller, is that not like one of the wildest things you've ever seen in a basketball altercation slash fight?
Man, that looked like something that we used to watch on the WWE, like when we were growing up. Like it, because it literally looked so unprovoked. Like obviously they just got into like a scuffle, right? But Rudy Gobert's not even in that. Like he's coming, and you could tell he's just trying to like break it up and be peacemaker. And like he just turns into Melvin from Baby Boy and like puts Jody in the headlock. What are we doing? Like and it doesn't help that it's Draymond Green. It does not help that he's went on his podcast multiple times and talked about how he felt that Rudy Gobert is soft and did all this. Like, this is my perfect opportunity to just show the world that I really despise this dude right here. Like, let me just go ahead and choke him out for like 5 to 10 seconds. And then, like, didn't even let go. Was like bringing him down the floor, too. And Rudy's just hands up. He's just falling back. Like, and I'm like, yo, like, a 5-game suspension was definitely warranted. I was very interested to see how the league was going to respond. Because they give Draymond Green a very long leash. And I mean, from kicking dudes in the nuts, stepping on people last year, right? Now you just put this man in the chokehold. Like, what are we doing, man?
Bro, he is living out Bill Laimbeer's dreams. Like, Draymond Green would have been perfect for that era. Okay, my thing, if I'm Rudy Gobert, would have been this. I'm more upset at Jaden McDaniels, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, everybody else. Y'all see this strangling me. And y'all not going to do nothing. Y'all not going to throw no blows. Did you see Cat try to put Draymond in the headlock himself and Draymond ducked his chin? Like, that's what I would have been mad, right? Did you ever see that episode of the Boondocks in season 1 where, like, Riley was terrorizing the mall Santa, right?
Yeah.
And so then, after Santa got beat up by Riley, Santa looks up. He's like, "What the?" he said, "Nobody, y'all just gonna sit here and watch Santa get his ass kicked?" Like, that's where I feel like nobody has Santa's back.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm Rudy Gobert, that's kind of where I would have been. Like, y'all just gonna watch this man put me down. And to be like completely serious, Draymond Green really could have hurt him. Like, if we keeping it 100, because you saw, like, when you ever see somebody get choked out, you ever put somebody in the headlock, right? When you see like somebody like start flailing like that, it's like, hey, yo, this dude about a couple seconds from blacking out.
Right.
My question with Draymond is this, right? Did Draymond, like, was Draymond triggered by something? Because, like, it seemed completely unnecessary. And it made me think about that brawl in Montgomery a couple months ago when Buddy was swinging that chair. And it was like, we're just having a regular altercation here, you know, regular mutual combat. And here comes Buddy swinging this chair. And he was swinging that chair with a purpose. Like, I think Buddy, who was swinging that chair in Montgomery, I think he had a flashback to when he was trying to integrate his elementary school or something, and he saw one of them people throwing stuff at him. He was like, is that mother Stonewall? Is that him? I've hated his ass since 1971. Wow. Like, bro, like, that dude had to be completely triggered. Like, because at this point, I'm like, what was up with Draymond, right? Like, what just, because I'm like, yo, man, you done killed an ant with a sledgehammer right now, bro. What is happening?
No, you knew that it was some animosity towards him. Like, because again, he's not even the one in the altercation. It's Clay and Jaden McDaniels. This is one thing you do it to Jaden McDaniels because like they basically ripped each other's jerseys coming down the floor.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, all right, they get into it. Let me go find this Gobert. I don't like him anyway. I'm about to put him in the box. Like, come on now. And like to do it, your team is like struggling right now. Now you get suspended for 5 games. Your team's on a 6-game losing streak now. Like, it'd be different if this is like 25-year-old Draymond Green. Like, bro, you're like 33, 34. You should know better. You should know you can't put your team in this type of situation.
Draymond Green, the gift that keeps on giving.
Keeps on giving.
You know who else is, as the folks would say, giving? As we say this?
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Texans. And it is shocking to say something like this. Kennedy Miller, the Houston Texans are 6-4. They are second in the AFC South. This Sunday, they play the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they could take the lead in the division.
It's a big game.
Can I just say this one thing right now? D'Amico Ryans is coach of the year, regardless of how this ends, anything like that. D'Amico Ryans is coach of the year. The Texans have won 11 games in the past 3 years, 2020, 2021, 2022. 11 games in total in 3 years. This is their fourth head coach in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a rookie quarterback. They've got a really, like, a pretty youngish roster. And they look really, really good. I think third straight close win in a row. Two big comeback victories in the last 3 weeks. I can't say enough about how good this Houston Texans team looks. And that still feels weird for me to say, given the last several years and what it's been, man. It just does. And can I ask you this question, Kim?
Yes, sir.
Am I jumping out the window saying CJ Stroud looks like a top 10 quarterback?
No, I was going to be leaning towards that too. Like, that kid is good. And he is breaking that mold of Ohio State doesn't produce, you know, NFL quarterbacks. Because he can play and forget what he made on that test or whatever, like failed that test. Like, he was right. I'm a football player, and he makes the throws. The moment hasn't been too big. Like, you know, turn the ball over. Who did they play last week? Oh, the Bengals.
Yeah.
Bengals. Right. You know, threw a pick, but still managed to go down and get some points on the board the next time. Like that dude is good. And you could tell they're well coached. Right. They've got some franchise centerpieces now with CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, Tank Dell kid can play. It is wide open, and it is their spot to lose for them to be at least one of those wild card teams.
I think the thing to me that's most impressive about CJ Stroud is this, right? Most times, like we talked about it at the beginning of the year, which rookie quarterback did we think would have the best season, right? And I think I said it was going to be CJ Stroud, typically because, you know, the play calling is going to be pretty good. The Texans, Damian Pierce ran the ball really well last year. Damian Pierce has struggled a bit. Offensive line has been banged up, right? So typically, if your offensive line is banged up and then that kind of impedes your running game, you would think, right, that's going to put more on your rookie quarterback than you would want.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Stroud, despite all of that, he's making it happen, right? And this isn't one of those situations to where you look at like a rookie quarterback playing well to where it's like a Mark Sanchez, where he's got a great defense and a strong running game, and that's really what's doing it. Or in 2016 with Dak Prescott, when Dak Prescott had the best offensive line in football, Ezekiel Elliott back there, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten. You know what I mean? Well, all he's really got to do is 10-2, drive the car, don't crash it, hold it in the lane, right? CJ Stroud is the one making this happen, because it's not like with Brock Purdy, where Brock Purdy has Debo Samuel to throw the ball to, or Christian McCaffrey to throw the ball to and hand the ball off to, or George Kittle, or Brandon Ayuk, or Juszczyk, the fullback who they can split out wide and throw a slant to, right? It's not that type of situation. He throwing the ball, his two leading receivers are Nico Collins and Tank Dell, right? Tank Dell, who I think is pretty good, but probably best set up as a number two receiver.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Robert Woods isn't what he was 4 or 5 years ago. Dalton Schultz is a decent tight end, right? But this ain't murderer's row. He ain't got A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith out there. You know what I'm saying? And he's the one that's making this happen.
Yeah.
That is the most impressive thing to me. And because it's like, I don't know, when was the last time you saw a rookie quarterback come into the league and be this good?
That, like, Dak's rookie year was that good. But again, like, CJ doesn't have the weapons and he doesn't have the team, but that's the last rookie quarterback that I can remember that came in just like, okay, like, this dude can play. He can win you. He can get you to the playoffs, and he might be able to win you a playoff game type good.
And the thing about the AFC right now, man, is the AFC is so wide open, right?
Oh, because yeah, for sure.
Joe Burrow out for the year.
Deshaun Watson.
He's finished. And, yep. You know,
even though they won.
Yeah, if you're Cleveland, man, Cleveland is 7-3. Cleveland probably has, like, them and the Ravens, one of the two or three best defenses in the league, right? Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to ride this out with Dorian Thompson-Robinson. The Jets are a non-factor. They finally benched Zach Wilson, and they about to start some dude named Tom Boyle, who I think it sounds like they just got off the street.
Right.
Houston has already beat Jacksonville, you know. So, like, the rest of these ball games, like, they've got a winnable set of games here down the stretch. Like, for Houston, they've got Jacksonville next week at home, Denver at home.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the Jets in Tennessee on the road, Cleveland in Tennessee at home, and Indianapolis on the road.
Yeah.
This is a winnable slate of games because Indianapolis is going out there with a backup quarterback. Tennessee is going out there with Will Levis, and Tennessee just doesn't look good this year, right? Cleveland's got a backup. The Jets are on their third string quarterback, right? The only two games, like, how many games would you say the Texans would be, like, not favored to win in this last slate of games? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, really, only the Cleveland one, honestly. Like, the Cleveland one, and maybe you can – maybe say that Jacksonville should be favored, but again, they beat them already. So the ball is in their court. The ball is in their court. And like you said, the AFC is wide open. Like, you take away Kansas City and Baltimore a little bit. I mean, what are we talking about? Like we said, no more Joe, no more Deshaun. The Chargers are not good this year. I think, like, everything is pretty much, like, the Texans are the surprise of the year. Yeah. Like, the NFC, we kind of knew what it was going to be. Like, it was going to be the 49ers, the Eagles, the Lions, and the Cowboys. Like, and that's it. The AFC, we thought, was going to be better, right? You know, some injuries have happened, but you thought that Buffalo would be better. Obviously, the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. You thought maybe that Sean Payton could turn around Russell Wilson, which they've been playing better as of late.
Oh, yeah.
But they weren't, you know, what we thought they were going to be. Coming into the season, we didn't think the Chargers were going to be this bad. So it's just, I'm very interested to see how the Texans finish out this season. I'm very interested to see how they finish out this season and what happens going into the postseason.
Think about this. In the year of our Lord 2023, the Houston Texans may win the division, and the Detroit Lions may be the one seed in the NFC.
Wow.
The Detroit Lions are going to win 10 games for, like, the seventh time since Martin Luther King was alive. Okay.
Wow.
The Lions. The Detroit Lions. Like, this is going to be a thing between the Lions and Dan Campbell for Coach of the Year, and the Texans and D'Amico Ryans for Coach of the Year. But the Lions. The Detroit Lions. The Lions winning close ball games.
Yes. They're good. They are really good. Especially at home. Like, Jared Goff is really good in that dome. And they're a physical team. Like, you know, they went in the trenches. Offensive line, defensive line, play is really good. You know, Jared Goff is a good quarterback. You know, he's not a great one, but he's a good quarterback. He can win you games. Obviously, he's taking a team, you know, been a quarterback on a team that went to a Super Bowl. So he can win you games. And then their division is wide open. You know, for years, Green Bay dominated that division when they didn't have anybody, you know, playing up against. But now, you know, Chicago is not good. Green Bay is not really that good. And then Kirk Cousins goes down. So Minnesota is done for. So, I mean, you know, we kind of picked them to win their division anyway, but we didn't know it was going to be like this.
Hell, I wouldn't say Minnesota's done for. They done got that rocket scientist, man. And this is where it pays to be smart. Okay. They done got Josh Dobbs out here.
Yeah.
Man, rocket scientist didn't know nobody's names, didn't know nothing. He out there, Josh Dobbs out here trying to make it happen. They're like 6-5 right now, I think. Right, like, they've won, like,
yeah, they're still in the race.
Yeah, they're still in the mix, man. And shout out to Josh Dobbs, man. We got to put him on, like, them Black History Month type of things, like rocket scientist and NFL quarterback. Like, this got to be one of the things we promote as Black people, okay? Because, like, think about it in the NFL, right? Typically, to be a backup quarterback, well, even before you're a backup quarterback, to be a Black quarterback in the NFL, you got to be exceptional, right?
Right.
You think about, like, 20 years ago, the only way you're getting picked in the first round is if you Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Vince Youngs, your Cam Newtons, whatever. Wouldn't nobody taking chances on those mediocre backups, right? The only, like, Black backup quarterbacks I could think of as a kid might have been, like, I don't know, Charlie Batch, Tony Banks,
Ooh, Charlie back. Wow.
Right? Like Charlie, like there was a couple of them. We're sprinkled in here and there, right? But like they weren't really here for the black mediocrity, right?
Right.
Which is what, like, in the NFL, by and large, that's what Josh Dobbs is. This is black mediocrity. And the fact that we can have black and mediocre, this is the progress Dr. King fought for. This is his dream being realized, okay?
Nah, you make a good point, because we do have a lot of black backup quarterbacks now. And they're actually playing well, like when they get a chance, like DTR, we just talked about, Josh Dobbs. So I like that. DJ Fresh Prince.
So, to move from the Houston Texans, who are a potential success story, to a certified Houston failure, I'm talking about James Harden. Since they acquired James Harden, since the Clippers got him up out of Philly, the Clippers are 1-6.
Yep.
They've now moved Russell Westbrook to the bench upon Russell Westbrook's request. They're still trying to figure everything out. Ken, everybody's been kind of talking about, like, this is a failure mission from here on out, and it's barely, we're not even at Thanksgiving yet.
They'll be fine. Now, I mean, obviously they still have some, like, they have some problems, but they're not going to only win 20 or 30 games for the next 60. They're going to be a playoff team. They're going to figure it out. They have, you know, four guys that are Hall of Famers. It's just a different style. Like, they played a certain way before him. And, you know, to a point, James Harden is right. Like, he does play a certain way, and that translates to every team that he goes to. He doesn't acclimate to the team. The team has to acclimate to him. Like, they played at a certain pace with Russell Westbrook having the ball. And then when James Harden has the ball, it is a very slower pace.
Yeah.
Which also, you know, and then the trade, you lose some of your wing depth, right? Like, you're losing Batum and Covington and Marcus Morris, right? And that was a thing that the Clippers, that was a strength for the Clippers, you know? And so now it's like, yeah, you got James Harden, but you had a lot of guys that could do a lot of different things and could play a lot of different positions. And, you know, it just kind of, it's going to take a while for them to get adjusted, but I think they'll figure it out. I think they'll figure it out. Those four guys are too good of players not to. And then, you know, they've already moved Russ to the bench, which they said he said it. But listen, when the Lakers moved him to a bench, it was crucify the Lakers. Oh, the Lakers going to put him on the bench. They're destroying his legacy. But this year, he requested to be moved to the bench. So it's a better look.
Hey, man, I think he actually probably requested this, man. I do, man. I think it's all about, like, the relationship you have to have with the, like, with your teammates, relationship you have to have with the coaches. You know what I'm saying?
Because Sure.
I question how well, and I really do think LeBron didn't quite handle, like, Russell Westbrook well that last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, the way, like, kind of shocking, like, when Kyrie was like, yeah, get me out of Brooklyn, and LeBron James is like putting the eyes like, oh yeah, certainly we'd love to have Kyrie Irving. And I'm like, you do know the dude you're trying to ship out of town for Kyrie Irving is like right over there, don't you? Right.
Right.
So I do think like there's part of that. Right. And, you know, he has a great relationship. Russell Westbrook does with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. Yep. Like,
yeah. And James Harden. Yeah.
So it's like, all right, like these are my dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, you know, I'll, you know, take a step back, you know. But for me, I'm thinking more of like with the Clippers, and their problem is when you put these many good players together, this is an adjustment period, right? Like Miami, with the big three, with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron. Yeah.
They started off 9-8.
Yeah. Like they didn't start off so hot. Go over there and look at Phoenix. Like, I don't think that, I think maybe Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Booker played together once this year, right? But that's not looking so hot. Hell, the Clippers last year, when they brought in Russell Westbrook, they lost 5 in a row. Like, when you're bringing in a guys like this, and you're kind of redoing your roster on the fly, these things happen. And to me, I think what they're going through right now, the growing pains they're going through right now, trying to figure out lineups, figure out adjustments, figuring out who works well with who, these are all things you would work on in the preseason. These are all things you would kind of like try to figure out
training
camp, right? But they're figuring them out when the lights are on. So people are freaking out, you know, like, oh my God, they've lost 6 games. It's like they're trying to like figure out who works best with who. It's kind of like we talked about like the R&B group metaphor a couple of weeks ago, right?
Four lead singers.
Right. We got four leads, right? We got Wanye, we got Cisco, we got Casey, we got JoJo here, right? Somebody got to do those fills. Somebody got to be the bottom of the record. Somebody got to be the deep voice dude who going to humiliate himself on the interlude, right? Russell Westbrook appears like he's willing to be Michael from Boys to Men.
Yep. I knew about it. I just didn't care.
Oh my, yo, man. We've talked about this for years. I think what that man said on that interlude on End of the Road is the most humiliating thing I've ever heard. I would have looked at that sheet when they see me in the studio. Yeah, yeah, so this, you got the little spoken word part. I'd have been like this. I knew about it. I just didn't care. You don't understand how much I love you, do you? I'd have been like, hey, I'd have told Babyface, hey, we're going to rewrite this. I'm not saying this.
Yeah, there's no way you could pay me to say that.
Because, look, any woman, I just tell all the women out here, if a man says this to you, this man has a low jack on your car. This man, if a man ever says these things to you, you need to call the police. You need to get a restraining order. Like, straight like that. Okay. Like, oh my God, that was wild. But it seems like Russell Westbrook is willing to take on that role, right?
Yeah. He has to. Yeah. I mean, like, those two guys, you know, like, this is the final test. Like, this is the final year for this Clippers team as it is, and as it is being Kawhi and PG. Russell Westbrook and James Harden have to know that, yes, it's four Hall of Famers. It's these two teams. It's their team, and you two are the supporting stars. However you want to do that. Like, Russ needs to do, you know, be Mr. Do-It-All, you know, fill up the stat sheet, play hard, energy. James Harden needs to be the extra playmaker that they needed, right? And then those two guys are going to get majority of the shots. And that's got to be how it plays out. But again, like you talked about it, no training camp, no preseason acclimation period, right? The way that the West is, it ain't much room for an acclimation period, though.
It's not. And like to look through their next handful of ball games, they got two games against my guy Big Parley and the Spurs. They play them on Monday and Wednesday. Then they've got Denver. Okay. They've got Dallas. Like, they got a couple of rough ones. They got Denver, Dallas, Sacramento, Golden State. Well, two against Golden State, Portland, and Sacramento again, Golden State, New York, goodness, Indiana, Dallas again. Right, we're running at this point. We're down close to Christmas time. But if it was looking like this around after MLK Day, all right, now you should be worried. You know what I mean? But I think given how tough that the West is right now, like, let's keep it honest right now. The Minnesota Timberwolves are the number one seed in the West. Do any of us think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be the one seed when it's all said and done? We don't.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm talking about? So, like, this is all going to, like, there are going to be injuries. People are going to make trades. And I do The Clippers are probably going to do something to add another wing. Because like you said, they gave up a good portion of their wing depth to get James Harden. And I think it's important, Plumlee is out for like 2 months with that knee sprain. Yep. So I think they just went and grabbed, what's his name?
Daniel Tice. They just grabbed Daniel Tice.
Yeah, like, so they grabbed him. So this is, again, you're putting together a roster on the fly. And I think if there's any coach that can figure out how to make this shake, it's T. Lou. Because T. Lou, when them years with LeBron, they were flipping a roster the deadline year in, year out. So if anybody knows how to like figure this out on the fly, it's him. But even he said, this is the hardest, probably going to be the hardest and toughest coaching job he's ever had.
No, for sure. For sure. Because like it's going to be injuries and, you know, teams are going to fluctuate. But the only team that's really going to like roll over maybe is like Portland. Everybody else thinking we can at least get to the play-in.
Yeah.
Right. So like, and then like, I didn't know how the in-season tournament thing was going to be. Teams are playing hard. Like, teams are actually playing. Like, it's not like the regular season. You could tell people are, like, loafing through it. Like, teams are actually competing. Like, it's been a lot of close games, especially in those tournament games. You don't really have, like, you know, like last year, it was like five or six teams. You knew they were trying to get big parlay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you knew, like, Detroit sitting out Kay Cunningham after the first 15 games. You know, like San Antonio giving up, you know, their entire team. The Rockets doing this. But this year, no, like Portland is not trying to win or they're not good enough to win right now, I'd say. Everybody else is competing.
Gonna switch gears a little bit to some college football. We are about 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday, where they pick the teams that are going to be in the CFP, Kennedy Miller. There's a lot still to be had. There's a lot of spots still up for grabs, right? So, like, I'm going to kind of start with this question. Do you think if Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, do you think because of that, you think Texas is going to slide in at the fourth spot?
Possibly. Because that really does help Texas strength of schedule, right? When they're looking back at it and say, like, oh, well, their one loss came to a team that's probably about to, you know, that only lost one game as well. And they beat them on the road by double digits. You know, like, Texas beat them soundly. Like, it wasn't like no walk-off field goal, you know, like no fluke. They beat them soundly. And so, you know, I'm interested to see, kind of like when we were talking about the Texans, I'm interested to see how it will go down because, like, I'm looking at it right now. We got Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, and Oregon, and then Texas. So, you know, we were talking about it before we got on. The Big Ten teams are going to play. So one of those will cancel out, like Michigan and Ohio State, right? Washington and Oregon probably will play. That will eliminate one of them. And then Florida State just lost their quarterback. I'm hoping that Texas can get in. I'm hoping that Texas can get in because you can kind of tell the way they've been doing it. Like they favor the Pac-12 schools. Like they're favoring Washington and Oregon over Texas right now, but one of them will cancel out. I think so. And I want Bama to beat Georgia anyway in that game.
Like, to me, like, just speaking of Alabama briefly for a second, right? Like, remember, like, 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, when people were acting like the sky was falling because Alabama lost the game? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody was talking about, this is a 4 or 5 loss Alabama team. This is the worst Alabama team in 15 years. It's like, yeah, it's the worst Alabama team in 15 years, and they're going to look, and they may win the SEC championship.
Right.
It's the worst Alabama team in 15 years, and only one team has found a way to beat them. You know what I'm talking about? And like the whole thing with me all year with Jalen Milroe has been the coaching in the way they're like running the offense. It's guys, this guy's biggest weapon is his legs. This guy is electric with the ball in his hands when he's in the open field. Right. Give me some design quarterback runs. And against LSU, they finally did it, right? The week after that, more of it. And I'm like, see?
Mm-hmm.
And they build everything else off of that. I said, see, right here. This boy, Jalen Milroe, because he's going to be coming back to school next year. Absolutely. He could be hell on wheels next year. Hell on wheels. If they fix a couple of things mechanics-wise, oh, yeah, this can work. You know what I'm saying? But as far as, like, the Big Ten teams go, can I just say this? I want Michigan to lose. And here's why I want Michigan to lose. I want them to stop acting like Jim Harbaugh has been wronged or that they've been wronged or something like that. Did you see the assistant coach, the acting head coach, crying after the game?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yes, sir.
I know this not crying. Because I'm like, what? He crying. He acting like Jim Harbaugh died of leukemia.
Yeah, like, somebody tweeted. They was like, he right in the hotel down the hall. Bro. Like, he's right in the hotel down the street, man.
Like, bro, is it like that episode of Martin? You remember when they thought Tommy died or something? Tommy died in a wreck or whatever, and they in the wrong person's room, and they got this big body cast on, and they over there crying.
Yeah,
like that's what bro was doing, and I'm like, will y'all stop it? And I'm like, y'all have not been wrong. This is y'all doing y'all own thing, bro. Stop it. Given how well Ohio State is playing, I think Ohio State can get them. But I've been saying that for the last 2 years, and Ohio State got their ass kicked 2 years in a row. You know what I'm saying? Florida State, they just lost Jordan Travis. He looked like he damn near snapped a leg out there.
Yeah, that did not look good.
Yeah, man. They got Florida this week, and Florida is trying to fight to be bowl eligible. So Florida going to play this game like it's their Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they got number 10 Louisville in the ACC championship game. So how are they going to make that one work? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm like, because Florida, if Florida State loses, they're out. Because Florida State's strength of schedule isn't that strong, right? Like, who is Florida State's best win? Is it against a 3-loss LSU team?
Right.
A 4-loss Clemson team in over, like a 4-loss Clemson team that they beat in overtime?
Yeah.
Like, where is that big signature win, like that big win from Florida State this year, right? So I think if all those things happen, and I think the Pac-12, one of those two teams is going to cancel out. Because if Oregon loses to Oregon State this week, in the Civil War, Oregon's out. That's loss number 2.
Yeah, yeah.
If Washington loses either this week to Washington State or to whoever they play in the Pac-12 championship game, they're out, right? So Washington or Oregon, one of them's going to lose in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out by default. You know what I'm saying? So, like, this is the 1 year I really think we needed a 12-team playoff, man.
Yes.
Because there are legitimate good eight teams that could be in these four slots this year. Like, I got arguments. Like, I'm willing to hear arguments for all eight. Last year, you know, a team like TCU, even though they lost in the Big 12 championship game, they were able to sneak on in there because there weren't really a whole lot of other options. This year, we got eight bangers, eight teams that I can look at and be like, yeah, all eight of these are playoff teams.
No, I totally agree. Because I think, like if Oregon didn't, like, Oregon is good. Like, Oregon's a really good football team. And, like, if they don't get in, you know, and when we look back at it, you know, after they do the 12-team playoffs, like, oh, that's a team that should have been a playoff team. Like, I would have wanted to see them in a playoff setting because they have a really good football team. But, you know, we're still doing the four. So, I'm just hoping that Texas can get in.
Man, I'm hoping that Texas can figure it out. You know who hadn't figured it out, though?
Who's that?
Lincoln Riley and USC.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen a team fumble a generational talent like this at quarterback in college, except maybe Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech when they couldn't finish better than like fifth or sixth in the Big 12 and they had Patrick Mahomes. And I think this is worse because that's at Texas Tech. There's only but right. so many dudes you're going to get to spend the best 4 years of their life in Lubbock, Texas, right? We're talking about USC, all the money, all the resources, all the access to a whole lot of different things. And you got probably one of the best quarterbacks in the last 25 years in terms of college football wise, right? Like, when we go back and look at this in 10 years or so, we're going to be talking about Caleb Williams up there with your Cam Newtons, up there with your Vince Youngs, up there with your Tim Tebows, up there with your Lamar Jacksons, your Deshaun Watsons, your Trevor Lawrences. He's that good. And they went 7-5. Like, my thing coming into the year was, if USC could just be bad on defense, just bad, right? They'll probably make the playoff. You don't need to have the gates of hell on the other side of the ball. You don't need to be 2021 Georgia or 2012 Alabama on defense. You just can't right. be horrendous. And Lord have mercy, that's what they were. Horrendous. Horrendous. And so for me, if I'm Lincoln Riley, man, you got to ask the question, man, is this ever going to get any better? Because this is like his eighth year as a head coach. And in 8 years, he's been a head coach at Oklahoma and at USC. He ain't put together a good defense once. So, and they're going to the Big Ten next year? Like, he's lucky he's not at Oklahoma. Because they'd have put a for sale sign in his yard. Look.
I mean, it's only going to be a couple more years of it at USC. Like, they gave him a bag, bro. They gave him a bag. You get that type of money, you have expectations. You have expectations, Jimbo Fisher. And if you do not live up to those expectations, USC, they got a pretty strong fan base. Obviously, they can recruit, but like you said, how many times are you going to get another Caleb Williams? You know what I mean? Like, a generational guy. Honestly, like, you name some dudes and then it's like him, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. That's who scouts are like, these were the best, you know, graded the best quarterbacks coming out in the last like 25 years. John Elway almost got a perfect quarterback rating by scouts, and none of them were this, or the team wise were this bad. 7-5.
You know what's even wilder about Lincoln Riley? How many good quarterbacks he's had that have been like, and they couldn't get it done, like in the playoff or elsewhere, because the defense was bad. Kyler Murray.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts, that internship year he did at Oklahoma in 2019. Caleb Williams, Baker Mayfield. And I think the bigger lesson for this is that you can't build your roster like exclusively through the portal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be, in order to be like a championship level football team in this age of college football, you got to be in the top 5, 6, 7 in high school recruiting and supplement everything else through the portal. Alabama loses a lot of guys through the portal, but how many guys are they taking the portal? They might take a guy here, a guy there, right? A linebacker here, a safety here, offensive lineman here, a receiver there, right? Mm-hmm. Georgia will look up and be like, we'll take a guy. We'll take two guys, right? But especially in the trenches too. And I think this also kind of goes for Deion Sanders as well. You got to recruit at a really high level from the high school ranks. You can import an offensive lineman here, like USC did, a quarterback, a receiver, Jordan Addison, who wanted Biletnikoff, got him to come in from Pittsburgh. But the trenches, the offensive and defensive lines, you got to recruit that or recruit that well, which I don't think Lincoln Riley has ever really done. You mentioned Texas A&M. They finally didn't put Jimbo Fisher up out of there. And Ken, have you ever seen that Steve Harvey stand-up bit where he was talking about folks getting fired and talking about Willie? And he said, Willie going to have to let you go. And Willie was like, give him a check. Give him a check. Willie, we've got 2 weeks with your money. You ain't got 2 weeks of Willie Turner money. Give me my money now. Right? That would have been me if I'm Jimbo. No. Look, put the $20 million, put that first installment in my hand right now. Forget 60 days. Put the $20 in my hand now.
He don't have to work another day in his life. Like, his kids don't have to work another day. Like, and then the contract is to where they still got to pay him if he get another job.
There's no offset.
There's no offset. Like, I don't know who negotiated that man's contract, but he is going to be living lavishly for doing mediocre work.
Jimbo Fisher needs to be doing like seminars at the Ramada Inn, like DJ Envy and that other dude were doing, okay, on how to scam, how to finesse people. Because Jimbo Fisher talked A&M out of their draws, okay? Talked him out of $80 million. Ken, did I ever tell you when I told my daddy how much Jimbo Fisher's buyout was? Ever tell you what he said?
No, you didn't.
I told my pops, I said, look, man, Jimbo Fisher's buyout is so high, man. Look, man, I'd be going out of my way to get fired. I'd be procking the president's spot. I'd be cussing folks out in meetings. I'd be doing whatever. I said, man, I go put the linebacker at quarterback. I don't care. I want you to fire me. Yeah, give me this money. My dad said, you know, the money ain't worth it. You know, all your reputation, you want to win. I said, Dad, you know how much the buyout is? He said, how much? I said, at the time, I said, $84 million. He said, hell, I'll humiliate myself for $84 million in a way that's shameful. $84 million? Oh, please. He said, I'll humiliate you, your mama, my mama, everybody for $84 million. To not have to work again? Please. Like, here's the thing about A&M, though. The way they've set this thing up, they got to drop a bag for the next coach.
Yes. Because yes, they do.
I didn't already seen you get, look, you gave this fool a $95 million contract and he was cheeks. You're going to have to give me $100 at least to fix it.
Right.
Like, forget Bobby Bonilla Day. It needs to be Jimbo Fisher Day from now on. Like, he got one of them deals. And I ain't going to lie to you. You know the one coach who I don't want to get that A&M job?
Who?
Jeff Traylor.
Oh, from UTSA?
Yes. That is the one person I'm like, oh, Lord, if they hire him. Woo, Jack, we might be in trouble.
Yeah, he's turned that program around. I mean, and he's already got the Texas ties.
High school, former high school coach and all that. Now, mind you, the quarterback at UTSA, that dude like 27.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Harris, he got to be working on the finish. He got to have pass comps and be working on his dissertation by now. He got to be. But still, that's the one dude who I do not want to get that job.
Did you see they reached out to, or it was rumored that they reached out to Dan Campbell?
See, that's the other one. I'm like, oh no, if they get Dan in there, woo, and Dan's an alum?
He's an alum.
Hey, man, Dan, that I would be terrified if Dan Campbell got that job. But Dan Campbell, I think he said in the press conference recently, he said he'll do anything for the program except coach him.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear him say. Well, I did hear he like turned it down or, you know, shot it down that he wasn't going to do it.
I mean, let's be honest with you, man. Dan Campbell is the coach of the Detroit Lions, and Detroit Lions might have a path to the Super Bowl.
Right.
If Dan Campbell takes them to a Super Bowl, they're going to build a statue of the man.
They're going to build a statue in Detroit. They're going to build a statue in Detroit.
Of Dan Campbell. Like, he going to be the most. Look, Dan Campbell might be able to run for governor of Michigan if this goes. Depending on how this goes. Okay?
Yeah, man. Like you said, bro, Detroit has been bad our whole life. I'm very intrigued to watch Detroit on Thanksgiving this year. Like that was always a game. Like, were you just doing stuff around the house? Like, people be coming over our house, so we'd be cleaning up during the Lions game. Oh, what's the Lions score? I don't care.
A lot to a little.
Yeah, I might have to wake up a little earlier. I can tune in now.
Bro, for real, like, look, like, let's start cooking early. We need to start cooking at 7 or 8. Lions on at 11 now. Look, I can't be messed with these yams and this dressing.
The Lions on.
And that is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my guy. Thank you for hanging out with me, man. Where can folks find you on the artist formerly known as Twitter?
_ Kennedy Miller _. Again, that's _ Kennedy Miller _.
All right. You guys can follow me on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter, at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Texans, like the Houston Texans. S as in Stroud, like CJ Stroud. M as in mother. Side note, you know what CJ stands for, Ken?
I saw his name yesterday and I forgot it, but I meant to save it. What does his name stand for?
The C in CJ lies in CJ Stroud. The C stands for Coleridge.
Yes.
Don't that sound like a civil rights leader with a white wife?
That man got a name on him, Coleridge.
Coleridge. Sound like a blaxploitation character, don't he?
Coleridge Bernard Stroud.
Woo! Ain't he like the fourth or the fifth?
Yes. He's the fifth.
You got to be the fourth or the fifth with a name like that. It's like if you name Gertrude or something in the year of our Lord 2023, it's like, yeah, you named after your granny. Or you named Beverly Eloise.
Mm-hmm. Gertrude.
Yeah, you named after your grandma.
That man is named Coleridge Bernard and born in 2001.
I'd go by C. Look, that's kind of like Steph Curry going by Steph.
Wardell.
I was like, Wardell. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, yep, I'd be Steph too. I'd be Steph too. But wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We will see you guys next time. Y'all take it light.